A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
Yo, Broadie, how's it hanging? That's my new hello.
That's a terrifying intro. I am currently sitting in a hotel room looking out a window over a place in Tokyo that looks kind of cool. It's called Shinbashi. Ooh. It's very businessy neighbourhood, and I've got this great view of a street, everyone rushing to work. It is 8:53 in the morning, so there's still some stragglers getting into work at the moment, and I've got people running around the street. I've got these big apartment blocks, and then I've just got this amazing tall skyscraper, and it looks really epic and amazing. It's like Tokyo.
Well, it is literally Tokyo, I guess, isn't it? You're a little bit close to the fish market that shut down, I hear.
Oh, you know your way around Tokyo. I'm impressed. Yeah, shame about this fish market. I feel sorry for everybody that never got to go to Tsukiji. You definitely went, though, right, Pete?
I went to it at, like, 5 in the morning. We had some delicious seafood, and we asked the question, I think I've said it before on this podcast, we asked the question, what's fresh? And they said, everything. Just go out to sea, you idiot. They said.
Certainly did. Mm. I remember... They said, what? I'm a little bit disorientated, Pete, I'm not going to lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I am currently about to fly back to London. It's that time of year, it's the festive season, and I don't feel very festive in Japan. And after cycling for just 2 months and being crazy and mental, working so hard, I need to go back to the UK to detox. And I've just spent the last 10 minutes fighting to fit everything into my bag. It's that horrible moment before the plane ride, before going to the airport, when you struggle to stick everything in. And it is 8 o'clock, and I've just woke up and I've had 4 hours sleep. Help me, Pete. What do I do?
Oh, I like this, Chris. You're all kind of delicate, and I'm strong, because it's the night for me and it's the morning for you, and you've had no sleep and you're very suggestible, and I'd like your PIN number to your bank card and your mother's maiden name, please.
Nothing says great friendship like
the fraud.
Like that kind of conversation. Oh, God. I don't do mornings, especially on 4 hours sleep, especially with a plane journey coming up. My one weakness, my one kryptonite is flying. I don't know if I've talked about this on podcast before, probably a long time ago, but I don't really like flying that much. I get a bit nervous on the plane. Ever since I experienced some turbulence once, and the plane, I was flying to Beijing, and we were sitting there on the plane, it was all going nice, the dinner came out, there was wine, I remember distinctly there was nice red wine being poured. And it was wonderful. And then the plane just suddenly shook. It dropped like a million feet, even though it was actually more like 1 meter, if that. And, yeah, the plane shook. Everyone screamed. My food went everywhere. The wine, like, just flew into the air in, like a spray of wine all over my face. And I just remember thinking, oh, we're going to die. And now, whenever there's any turbulence, my body, like, reacts to it. I get really anxious and nervous, and I feel like it's the end. And it's horrible. So when you're on a 12-hour and 50-minute flight, which is what I'm about to face... Oh, God, I'm not in a good mood.
Oh, Chris, I mean, what I would say in this situation, I do say the phrase, what I would say, quite a lot. If you're going to die, die with wine all over your face. That's a lovely way to go.
Die with wine all over
all
your
over
face.
Your
Worst
face.
Of all, I've got to go to Narita Airport. For those of you that know your Japan, you'll know that Tokyo is served by two airports. One is Haneda Airport, which is actually right in the middle of Tokyo. It's actually... I think 20 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. And then there's Narita, the world's worst airport, that's probably still better than Heathrow. And it's about 90 minutes to 2 hours away by train. Mm. And the only reason I went there is I had to choose between Japan Airlines and British Airways. And they're actually the same price. But Japan Airlines fly from Haneda. And British Airways go from Narita. But British Airways have the brand new plane, the 787, if you know your planes. And it has some sort of turbulence mitigating system. It helps with turbulence. And the plane's just nicer and newer. So I thought I'd do that. Thought I'd sacrifice airport travel time for comfort for 12 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah, but yeah, JAL is so much better than British Airways, though, Chris. I mean, you've got to...
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's,
I know I'm
going to
regret it
and
in about an hour. I'm going to regret it in a few hours when I'm sitting on a plane getting my rubbish British Airways food and dodgy service. But we shall see. I'll give you the full review next week when I get back to London and I'm sitting with you, Pete. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be sitting with the great Pete Donaldson for the next month or so in his room. Harassing him.
Well, I mean, not in my room.
Like a podcast.
I mean, I'll find a studio for us, Chris. We've got a studio. I mean, I wouldn't make you stay in my room. I don't even have any microphones in my room. My room is microphone free. There are no broadcasts done from my bedroom. Let's make that very clear.
To be honest, the picture you've painted of your bedroom over the last year of doing these podcasts has not been flattering. Cables everywhere. You've got shower curtains covered in post-it notes where you're studying Japanese.
Mm.
You've got, like, every time you send me pictures of your room, there's, like, a weird projector just projecting all over, like, your wall. Mm. And it just looks like a really retro, bizarre apartment you've got. And I
just want to...
Yeah. On the one hand, I'd like to see it. On the other hand, I don't know. I think some things are best not visited.
I just want to do little puppet animals, little shadow puppets on the screen. So you are going to be arriving in London, England, probably tomorrow evening then, presumably.
I leave here, I think it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then arrive at, crikey, I don't know, I think it's 4 p.m. in London.
Right.
Oh, I hate the jet lag. I'm trying not to think about it. It takes me like two weeks to get in sync with jet lag, and I can't be doing it. I had a friend from Australia that's just come over, and their flight, I think if you fly from Australia, it's like 9 to 10 hours or something, but
jeez,
not a minute of jet lag, it's like 1 hour's jet lag or something.
Yeah.
Damn them, fucking Australians. They get sunshine, they don't get jet lag. I guess it's cancelled out by the spiders and snakes.
If you ever visit Japan, I've kind of noticed that the jet lag kind of isn't as bad as it could be because you can technically stay up quite late and get up quite late because a lot of the shops in Japan, they don't open till like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in some of the more salubrious shopping areas. And I always sort of think that kind of fits in with my kind of routine when it comes to holidays. I do get up rather late and do stay up rather late.
Yeah, I remember when you were here the other week, like a few months ago, last month, you got up at like 4 a.m. and had like okonomiyaki or something.
Oh yeah, from the shop. Yeah, from the konbini. I went and got a bit of okonomiyaki, and then they warmed it up in the microwave. And I tell you what, it wasn't a bad approximation of okonomiyaki. Chris, how are the videos being received? Because obviously, I have never seen so many comments on Twitter about me and you together. Obviously, we do the podcast every week, but it seems that your videos are surprisingly popular.
My videos are surprising. Are they really? I mean, you've been surprisingly popular. I always wonder. I was curious as to how you do.
Rude.
Because I thought the accent might be a hurdle.
Other,
we've got
more
a lot
rude
of viewers from North America. I struggle to know what you're saying.
Double rude, triple rude. Like,
when I'm doing these podcasts, ladies and gentlemen, I do have to have an interpreter sit next to me and explain what Pete's saying.
Is he coming to London?
Northern accent. but no, you've gone down quite well, actually. You've gone down rather well indeed. People,
because you left my
I got a
in.
Message. This guy, I get these people message me on Instagram messages sometimes, and I flick through them every now and then. And I got one guy who messaged me in February. And in the message it says, "Hey Chris, I listened to the new podcast. I don't like that Pete guy.
Mm.
I don't really like him at all. He talks too fast and he sounds too happy." And something to that effect.
That doesn't sound
and I was like
me.
Oh, all right. And then last week, he messaged again for the first time since February, saying, "I've watched the videos of Pete. I like him now." And that was just it. That was literally it.
Oh.
So this guy messages me every 6 to 7 months and just details how
just
he
reviews
feels
your
about you.
Just reviews people that you know, your colleagues and your friends.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a strange thing. But, I mean, generally, yeah, you've been very well received. So
cheers, mate. Well, you know, I'm just improving your channel one red eye at a time. We isn't in the next video, don't we drink some red eye in the Okonomiyaki shop?
The beer with tomato juice?
Yes. Delicious.
You do.
Delicious.
I'm actually going to finish that video on the plane, which is going to be fun. yeah, keep me busy. Editing your little face.
Haven't you had enough of my little face over the past few weeks?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Absolutely. Oh, I might even bring you a Christmas present.
Oh, Christmas lovely old present.
I'll tell you what I bought. Let's see if you can guess.
Right.
So I went out into Ginza yesterday and I spent my Christmas budget on one thing and one thing alone for all my family and friends. Mm. And it's something you can't get in the UK.
Mm.
It is tasty.
Democracy?
Oh, God.
Sorry, carry on.
Let's not go there. Let's see if you can guess what it is. I'll give you three chances. What did I buy all my family and friends?
You can't get it in England. Peter Frampton's family.
Scooby-Doo at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Did you, hang on, you can't get it in England. I'm probably going to need a little bit more than that, to be honest.
It's food.
And you can't, well, it could be anything. Japan's renowned for its cuisine. It's not
Coolish.
You
know what I'm like.
Yeah, you know what you're like.
It's not Coolish.
Oh, is it Kit Kats?
It's Kit Kats.
Yay!
It's so many Kit Kats. Of different flavours I've never seen. There's like strawberries and cherry flavour and dark chocolate and sausages. It's like so many flavours. There's a place, and I recommend this to everyone listening. Everyone always messaging me saying, what should I buy my friends and family when I go back, Chris?
Yeah.
Get them a Kit Kat. Like,
they
don't
love
get
it,
the
yeah.
normal flavour. Get like the crazy variety box set and they'll love it. And it's always a hit. I've got lots of Kit Kat sake boxes as well.
They're
so
quite
maybe
nice.
I'll give you one. Although I've already let you try them. I've already bought you some, I remember, last month. So, yeah, probably won't give you any. But, I spent all my budget on Kit Kats and now I've been trying to force it into my bag.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
The moment this podcast is done, I've got to take the microphone, dismantle it, throw it in a bag, and then run to Ueno Station. So this morning, I've literally just been chucking everything in, and I've got like maybe 8 or 9 boxes of Kit Kats. And I've just been stuffing them in, trying to pack them in, but it won't close. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be
Can you not
horrible.
Wear... There was a guy who... Basically, some of the budget airlines here in England, they're a little difficult when it comes to what things you can take in your overhead baggage and the baggage you put under your seat. They're really, really arsey about the things you can take. So one guy got a big trench coat that he owned, and he got a seamstress to stitch in like 1 million different pockets. And so he put all of his pants, all of his medical goods, and basically just his entire kind of massive suitcase, he managed to secrete around a big old jacket. And he got through. He didn't look particularly stylish. Wow. He looked like, you know that bit in the Ninja Turtles film that you probably can't remember because it was the late 80s, early 90s, where Raphael got in the huff, and he went out and had a moody evening in the streets of New York, all angry and stuff, and he was wearing a big trench coat and a hat. He kind of looked a bit like that, but obviously he was off to Torremolinos or somewhere naff like that.
Torremolinos of all places.
Torremolinos.
I don't remember that.
No.
And that's a great idea, but I don't have enough time.
Oh, well, never mind. You'll have a lovely time.
Do you want me to bring you back anything?
Well, the thing is, the only thing that you can get that I can't get here is Coolish. And
not Coolish.
It is completely... It's just not happening. You cannot take ice cream that far.
Well, you could. Like, it could be... Like, Coolish comes in a pouch, right? So it can become a liquid during the flight, and then I could refreeze it when I arrive.
I've tried that though. I tried that and it doesn't work.
Well,
it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
I won't do it then. I mean, I forgot to mention, by the way, and this, I guess this kind of ties into the flight because it happened afterwards. So last week, you might remember I talked about that story about the guy who's banging on the front door, wakes me up every morning.
Oh, yeah, Slammy McSlamerson.
Yeah, and a lot of people actually commented. You guys sent me lots of messages saying what to do. It was quite a nice moment. I felt very grateful for all the support I received from the online community. Josh Stein says, regarding the door, wake up at 6:30 and wait by the neighbour and stare creepily. Don't know if that's going to work. I might consider it.
Right.
Just to refresh your memory, every morning I get woken up by somebody with OCD. They bang their door 20 to 30 times to check it's locked, and the subsequent banging of the door wakes me up from 7 a.m. till 7:30 a.m. every single day and drives me mental. And I don't know what to do because it's been going on for 6 months. Thankfully, that's kind of the reason I went on the cycle, just to escape for two months.
Just to get away
banging,
from
the incestuous banging of the front door. My neighbour, who is so paranoid about his front door not being locked that he smashes it and bangs it over and over.
Oh, dear.
Karen says, hi, Pete and Chris. Greetings from Belgium. Chris, I might have a solution for your door-banging neighbour. You see, I have misophonia, if that's how you pronounce it, a condition in which negative emotions, thoughts and physical reactions are triggered by specific sounds. These sounds are apparently usually soft. It can be loud, like eating, slurping, chewing or popping gum. That's why I understand your near mental breakdown with your neighbour. If you don't want the confrontation, I suggest noise-cancelling headphones, earplugs, or a white noise machine to block out the banging. Karen. And that's a great idea, Karen. Only problem is, because my head is next to the wall, I can feel the wall move, like when he bangs the door. So it's actually like a 4D nightmare experience. It's not just the sound of the banging, it's the vibration and the movement of the room as well. So that kind of works but doesn't. But thank you. And I did actually buy some noise-cancelling earphones as well. That was more for the plane. And a lot of people did say I should try and befriend the guy. But then I decided the best option was literally just to fly to the UK for like a month instead. So I've done that. So I just keep running away from my problems and not confront them. Next year I will confront the situation head on and make a video about it.
Why don't you try getting a debilitating mental affliction yourself and just get into the door slamming, you know, situation yourself. So when he slams it, you're like, yes, you give it a good slam. Just get into it, man. It's like having a girlfriend or a boyfriend who has interests. You know, just go with them. Go with them. Just enjoy it. Yeah?
Well, I've only ever done that once. I did that recently, actually. I did act a bit mental or a bit crazy is the best way to describe it. When I was filming on the cycle, I was often filming in public, and I was filming at the front of this convenience store with my friend, and it was like, I think it must have been 10 o'clock at night, and I wanted to wrap up something, and yet there were loads of people walking around us being loud and annoying. So what I did, I started talking really loudly. I think at one point I started just banging my head and looking really crazy just to try and get people to walk off and get away from me and the camera. Pretending to have a mental breakdown.
You'll never be allowed on NHK again.
It kind of worked. A lot of people walked off. So if you want some peace and quiet when you're filming in public in Japan, ladies and gentlemen, just falsify a mental breakdown. It does actually work.
I mean, it's so versatile. Chris, tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock, Japan's biggest curry house chain, Koko Ichibanya, is opening round the corner from my house. We must go in when London. You come here in London. The largest chain of curry houses, 1,777 branches in Japan. It's opening tomorrow afternoon from 12 until 11 p.m. in the evening. Now, I can't imagine I'll be able to get a seat tomorrow.
It's like some sort of sponsorship I don't know about that you've slipped into the video.
No. I just collaborated
with Koko Ichibanya.
No, but I think I mention it last time, and I walked past it last week. Saturday. I was like, I'm really hungry, but I had to make do with walking into Chinatown. And there's a company that does it's a Chinese company, maybe Taiwanese. They basically deep fry everything you can imagine. And I got myself a big octopus, and they just put it in batter and fry it for you. And then you can put any powder you want on it, flavoured powder. So I had cheese octopus with a little bit of tofu on the
horrible
side. And they just give you a little greasy bag, and you just eat it. Oh, it's so nice. Like proper Chinese street food.
Not an image I want in my head as I go to the airport. A cheesy octopus.
Yes.
Disgraceful. But yeah, I'm quite excited by the Koko Ichibanya. I wonder how it'll go down in the UK. I wonder if British people will like the taste of Japanese curry. I think they will.
Yeah, massively. Well, katsu curry's all over. Like every blummin' shop from Itsu to Wasabi, two big brands over in London. They all do their version of katsu everywhere. Basically, katsu curry is for people who go to Japanese restaurants and can't eat any of the fish. Who go, oh, I'm scared of the fish.
Well, I'm scared of cheesy octopus. I think British people will like the taste of Koko Ichibanya because we love curry in the UK. And also, Japanese curry is kind of nice. It's got a kind of fruity undertone to it, hasn't it?
It's very sweet and delicate.
It's not as spicy as Indian curry, but yeah, it's sweet. It's got a fruity undertone to it. I like it. I haven't had it in a while. Maybe I'll have that for lunch before I fly.
Yeah, why not? I mean, to be honest, you're going to be landing on later today, basically. So you could Wednesday. I didn't realise. So it's just gone over into midnight. So Wednesday, you could go down and cut the ribbon on it. Meet Chris Broad. He will open the Koko Ichibanya. And even if they don't we'll just do it ourselves.
What better way to whittle away my jet lag than by cutting the ribbon on a on a curry store?
Yeah.
On a curry shop.
I'll pop down. Brilliant. It's my Christmas party. I'll be very hungover. I'll need a curry.
That would be quite a nice way of being back in the UK. I can imagine a nicer way to kick things off, really. I'm curious to hear, though, guys, what are you... If you could have one item And this is to listeners, not to Pete.
What?
If you could have one item from Japan for Christmas, what would it be?
Hentai.
If you could have one thing from Santa Claus, Japanese Santa Claus, Takeshi Claus, what would it be? One thing, one item. Let us know in the Abroad Japan podcast email, and we'll read them out next week. I'm always curious. It sounds like I'm setting up some sort of bespoke, brilliant competition to actually give you these gifts, but I'm not. I'm just going to read them out.
Lovely old job.
But that's pretty much it for now, guys. We have to cut it short because I'm literally going to get a plane now. That's no exaggeration.
You have no idea what time budget Chris has given us for this show. And he has so little time before he goes to the airport. It's bloody hilarious.
It is. That'd be such a great way to miss my flight recording the Abroad Japan podcast.
Worth it.
Speaking to Pete Donaldson.
Worth it, mate.
But I'm looking forward to being in the UK. And I will tell you all how I feel about being in the UK next week. As well as talk a bit more about Christmas in Japan and my experiences. Because that was what we were originally going to talk about today, Christmas in Japan. But we kind of went off on a tangent and talked about everything else.
Yeah.
But for now, guys, thanks for listening. Let us know what you want for Japanese Christmas. And I guess we'll see you next week. And I'll see you next week in person, Mr. Donaldson. And do watch out on YouTube, guys, because we've got the Osaka video with Pete coming out in the next day or two, and it's a good one, a really, really awesome one. There's a retro 80s music video montage, which I'm particularly excited about, and hopefully you will be too. But for now, guys, that's it. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Bye!
And now I've got to run.
Run, I'm Chris, running. Run!
Run!
Run! We'll get the train.
Gabba gub. Yes.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.